Have you ever wondered why depression rates soar while our material comforts multiply? Why we feel so disconnected despite unprecedented connectivity? What if our smartphones, suburban homes, and supermarkets haven't actually made us happier than our ancestors who lived under the stars, sharing stories around fires? Christopher Ryan's provocative thesis challenges our most fundamental assumption that human history represents an upward trajectory of progress. The dominant narrative tells us our prehistoric ancestors lived desperate, brutal lives until agriculture delivered us from animal desperation into civilized abundance. This story has become so deeply embedded in our cultural consciousness that we rarely question it. But what if this narrative is fundamentally wrong? What if, for most of human existence, at least 300,000 years, our hunter-gatherer ancestors actually enjoyed better mental health, more leisure time, and stronger social bonds than many of us do today? Archaeological evidence increasingly supports this view, showing sophisticated social organizations, complex tool use, and rich cultural practices long before agriculture. Recent studies of contemporary hunter-gatherer societies reveal remarkable social innovations. Sophisticated conflict resolution mechanisms, complex sharing networks, and flexible social arrangements that promote cooperation and reduce violence. These societies often demonstrate superior physical and mental health outcomes compared to early agricultural communities. Our bodies and minds have evolutionary expectations. Our lungs expect air, our eyes expect certain light wavelengths, our social nature expects community. The Piraha people of the Amazon demonstrate harmony with an environment matching what they evolved for. Unlike them, we inhabit a world no previous generation has known. Forager generosity wasn't romantic fiction, but practical adaptation, risk mitigation strategies innate to us. Anthropologist Marvin Harris noted that pre-state societies offered economic and political freedoms now enjoyed only by privileged minorities, with people determining their own work without rent or taxes. This freedom came with material simplicity. Nomadic bands carried minimal possessions and shared resources. Successful hunters shared kills from necessity, as hoarding meant social upheaval and wasted food. Groups developed leveling mechanisms to discourage pride through modeling generosity and isolating those prioritizing ego over collective good. Modern society sends conflicting messages, teaching sharing on playgrounds but cutthroat competition in business schools, creating tension between our hunter-gatherer instincts for generosity and civilization's push toward selfishness. Our ancestors didn't enthusiastically embrace farming. They fell into it gradually through environmental and social changes. The transition began when climate change created abundance around sites like Göbekli Tepe, where foragers built massive stone structures 12,000 years ago in landscapes rich with wild grains and game. When the Younger Dryas triggered a 1,000-year drought, agriculture emerged as a desperate response. This shift transformed society. Land ownership replaced sharing, women's status declined, and hierarchies emerged to manage surpluses and coordinate labor. Archaeological evidence shows early farmers were shorter, had more dental problems, and suffered more diseases than their foraging ancestors. Jared Diamond called agriculture the worst mistake in human history, as health, security, and leisure declined for all but a tiny elite. Agricultural societies became inherently expansionist, consuming more land and often exterminating hunter-gatherers, a pattern repeating throughout history, from ancient times through colonial expansion. Even President Obama perpetuated the myth that war appeared with the first man. Archaeologist Raymond Dart characterized our ancestors as carnivorous creatures, slaking their ravenous thirst with the hot blood of victims. This neo-Hobbesian view is flawed. It fixates on chimpanzee aggression while ignoring bonobos, our equally close genetic relatives who show no evidence of lethal aggression, war, murder, rape, or infanticide. In discussions of human origins, bonobos are typically mentioned only in passing, if at all. research by anthropologists Doug Fry and Patrick Soderberg, examining 21 nomadic forager societies, found no instances of chronic raiding or feuding. Most violent incidents were personal disputes rather than organized warfare, and many societies had sophisticated conflict resolution systems. The archaeological record shows war was simply absent over the vast majority of human existence. Evidence indicates violence proliferated after our shift from foraging to agricultural settlements, with organized violence appearing only after permanent settlements developed. Is everything really getting better? Optimists cite economic growth without addressing wealth definition or distribution. They celebrate population growth, but is expanding from 10 million to nearly 10 billion humans truly improvement? Consider chickens. 50 billion exist today in miserable conditions with deformed bodies. Claims we're better protected against disease overlook that most deadly infectious diseases emerged after agriculture brought humans into contact with domesticated animals. Diseases of civilization, like heart disease, remain rare among foragers, whose health typically deteriorates when transitioning to civilization. The better-fed claim misleads. Foragers, like the Kung San, consume adequate calories with 93 grams of protein daily and utilize over 80 wild plants for nutritional security. While they faced occasional shortages, they avoided devastating crop failures. Today, 1 in 9 people suffer chronic undernourishment. Foragers' health had one significant drawback: high infant mortality. This creates misunderstandings about longevity. When infant mortality declines, average life expectancy rises, creating the illusion of longer lives. Our natural lifespan has always been 70 to 80 years. Modern parenting has disconnected us from community care. In foraging societies, children receive communal support. Effie infants are passed between 14 different caregivers hourly. This loving contact establishes a foundation of rightness, feeling welcomed and loved, essential for human development. Hunter-gatherers treat children with adult-level respect, believing everyone knows their needs best, regardless of age. Children depend on the entire band rather than specific individuals, minimizing domination. Hunter-gatherers work only 3 to 4 hours daily, with activities integrated into social life. Many forager languages lack a word for work because necessary activities feel like play, varied, skilled, communal, and optional. Unlike our society, where work pervades everything, foragers separated production from consumption. Today's wealth inequality is extreme. The richest 85 people control more wealth than the poorest 3.5 billion humans. Research shows wealth diminishes empathy. Studies found expensive car drivers were 4 times likelier to ignore pedestrians. Power dampens mirror neurons needed for empathy, while powerlessness enhances them. The pursuit of happiness often backfires. Modern America shows alarming disconnection. Antidepressant use up 400% since 1990, rising social isolation and suicide rates jumping 30%, now exceeding car accident deaths. When civilization collapses, we see raw human nature, and contrary to Hobbesian fears, people typically respond with cooperation, not selfishness. Rebecca Solnit's research shows disasters often bring out our best qualities, creating communities where we become each our sister's and brother's keeper. Many question civilization's myths that generate loneliness. Trends like natural childbirth, organic food, horizontal business structures, and minimalism reflect paleo principles aligned with our original environment. We face 3 paths forward: collapse through denial, technological dehumanization, or acceptance, incorporating hunter-gatherer wisdom into modern life through horizontal organization, clean energy, and reduced population. This third path, though unlikely, represents our only road home. True progress builds on understanding the past. By unleashing primordial human impulses toward trust and compassion, we may create a future worthy of our evolutionary heritage.